is worth people giving their attention to. God, at the sundry times and divers manners, spoke in times past by the prophets to the people. But Paul said He hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Now I'm telling you, when the Son of God speaks, it demands our attention. You know, it's hard to get people's attention today. It's hard to get children's attention in school. It's hard to get their attention, the parents to get the attention of the child. And it's hard for the Lord to get the attention of His people. And it's almost impossible for the Spirit of God to get the attention of a lost man and a lost woman. But I'm telling you that when God speaks, my friend, it would behoove us to lean our ear in His direction and open up our hearts that He might give us great understanding. I'm going to tell you, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the problem in our churches today is simply that we're not hearing the Word of God. Oh, we hear, but in hearing we do not understand. And because we do not understand, our hearts do not perceive or does not perceive the communion or the instruction that the Lord would have for us. And so these words are falling from the very lips of the Son of God. And notice how the words are listed. Oh, my dove, He saith, thou art in the clefts of the rock, and thou art in the secret places of the stairs. These are not harsh words of judgment, but these are words, my friend, of endearment. They're words of assurance. They're words of comfort. And they're words of safety. He said, thou art in the clefts of the rock. Thou art in the secret places of the stairs. But please reveal yourself to me. I desire to look upon your countenance, and I desire to hear the words of your voice, because your voice is sweet and your countenance is comely. It does appear to me that the bride here has taken a position of shyness and being very timid and possibly having withdrawn herself from the Lord. But she has withdrawn in a wonderful place, for it is a place of real assurance and safety. May I say that there can be no greater a place for you and I to be this morning than in the cleft of the rock and covered there by His hand, or lodging in the secret places of the stairs that will ultimately lead us into the presence of Christ. But oh, I'll tell you, Jesus stands at the top of those stairs and beckons His people to come out of their shyness, to come away from their timid attitudes and spirits, and reveal themselves to the Son of God. You do not have to be shy and fail to look upon the face of the Son of God, for He desires, church, you and I, to look upon Him, that He may look upon us and bless us in our hearts in sweet communion and fellowship with the Lord. Now the Lord ascribes to her the character of a dove, and He assures her of safety, or assures her that safety and protection have been provided for her in the clefts of the rock. He further promises her access to Him through the secret places of the stairs, and pleads with her to reveal herself fully, that He might see her countenance and hear her blessed and sweet voice. May I say to you, my friend, that we have blessed assurance today that Jesus is ours. Hallelujah to God. That's right. I'm not worried about going to hell this morning. I have an assurance that I have been saved that I have been sanctified and that I have been sealed under the day of redemption, and my life is hid with Christ in God, and I'm safe there from the storms of life, amen, from the wrath of Satan, oh yeah, from the trials and temptations of the world, I am safe. I've found a covert neath the everlasting arms of the Lord God Almighty. I want to bless His wonderful name. Now notice with me. I see here another glorious opportunity for the church to have fellowship and communion with her blessed Redeemer. Oh, I tell you how the Lord longs for His church to fellowship and commune with Him in prayer and in worship and in praise and in adoration of His blessed person just for who He is. I like that old song that the Primitive Quartet sang about the man that laid down at night and failed all day long to fellowship with his Lord, and how the Lord stood at the foot of his bed and spoke with him, desiring to hear his voice in prayer, just to see him kneeling in that secret place and calling upon the Lord. I want to ask some of you this morning. This is not in my message, but I want to ask you, how long has it really been since you just simply crept away out of all the hustle and the bustle of life and just kind of got back into a secret place alone with the Lord and realized that you had come into the divine and holy presence of an Almighty God that knows everything about you, and in spite of knowing it all, yet He loved your never-dying soul. He loved it enough that He walked all the way to Calvary's brow and laid His life down that you might escape the damnation and the torments of hell. And that same Jesus that loved you in that way loves, my friend, to have fellowship and communion with you in the secret places of your heart. Amen and amen. I'd venture to say some of you hadn't talked to God in years. Some of you may have never had fellowship with Him. Some of you probably don't even know it. That's right. What a glorious opportunity. She has absolutely nothing to fear. You see, one of our problems today is that we're afraid. We fear everything that's going on around us. I've heard preachers, and they've stood in this pulpit, and because of the sin of the sodomites and the pressure that's being put on us from the government and from society, we've got the idea that like Israel of old when invaded by the Gideonites, that we've got to, or the Midianites, that we've got to draw back into a cave somewhere and there hide ourselves in frustration and live a defeated life to the glory of God. But I'm telling you, my friend, the world was raging on the outside here. Oh, yeah, and sin was just as prevalent as it always was. But yet the Lord assures His church that you have found a hiding place in the cleft of the rock and in the secret places of the stairs. And there it is that I desire to hear your voice and to see your face, because sweet is your voice and comely is your countenance that I look upon. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I don't anybody leave me. She's in a place where she cannot be molested nor harmed by her enemies. She's in a cleft of the rock. She can live in peace because she has found a hiding place. Hallelujah to God. I'm going to tell you, if you're saved by the good grace of God this morning, my friend, hey, you can live a life of peace and tranquility without worry of being molested by sin and society. As the songwriter said, there is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. Now, I'm telling you, we need to learn to draw up nearer to the heart of God. Lay our head on His blessed bosom and enter into a state of communion and fellowship without worry of the trials and the tribulations. Don't worry about the pressure that the world is putting on you. I'm telling you, there is nothing, my friend, that can come into your life that God does not allow it to be there, for all things still work together for our good to those who love the Lord and are called according to God's purpose. I tell you, what we need to do is come out of our hiding place and worship God in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah to God. No, that's right. She's there, but He said, come on out where I can see you. Come into the light. You're in the dark recesses of the stairs. Come on out where into the light where I can see your face and fellowship with you and where you can worship your Lord. Amen. Now, God gave me this thought this morning. Notice now, I've only got 3 points. Notice the character that He ascribes to her. He said, oh, my dove. Now, I've got about humpteen points under that. But I'll tell you this first one, I want to preach on a minute. God gave it to me while Benny was teaching Sunday school. The thought crossed my mind. The dove, or a dove, and I mentioned this earlier, He earlier told her that you've got dove's eyes, that you can look through the eyes of the Holy Ghost. But He now attributes to her the character of a dove. Oh, my dove. And I tell you, God told me this morning, that is a term that denotes her spirituality. She is a spiritual being. Hey, church, we are a spiritual people. And we have been likened unto God, unto Christ, by the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Oh, yes. And in the term, oh, my dove, He identifies His bride with Himself. Oh, I'm glad, thank God, that I am a spiritual being this morning. But He said, what do you mean spiritual? I have been regenerated. Oh, I've been regained. Like Benny said in Sunday school, I have been recreated, buddy. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I traded my carnal mind that was enmity with God for a spiritual mind. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I'm glad today that I am, my friend, a spiritual being. Oh, yes, and there's coming a day when I lay down this old body of sinful flesh, and this mortal body, my friend, will be quickened by the Holy Ghost of God, and this mortal body shall be made a spiritual body. First that which is fleshly, then that which is spiritual. Hallelujah to God. It will be sold in a carnal body, but it shall be raised a spiritual body, incorruptible, undefiled, harmless, and blameless in the presence of Almighty God. Oh, my dove, you're spiritual and you're not carnal. And you're hidden in the clefts of the rock and the secret places of the stairs. You have nothing to worry about. May I say to you, there's nothing that can harm you. Now, if you can get a hold of that, we can go home. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, for there is no power, no principality, there is no being on the earth, nor beneath the earth, nor in heaven, who can separate us from the love of God, which is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's no angel, my friend. Oh, yes, famine and sickness, cannot separate us from the love of God. I'll tell you, my friend, there's only one thing that can separate you, and that's S-I-N-C-N. That's right. And you're not going to get to where she was sin in your life to start with. Huh? That character. He said, you are a dove. You're my dove. That denotes spiritual, us being a spiritual being. Being in the likeness and the image of Christ. I want to say, secondly, the words my dove. Notice the personal pronoun my. Not somebody else's dove. That is my wife over here. Not somebody else's wife. She is not for no other man to put his hands on. He better not wink at her, smile improperly at her, or say one out of the way word to her in my presence. Like Sammy Allen would say, it will be on. You know why? She's mine. By covenant. Back yonder on January the 15th, 1967, when Miss Hall said, I will. And when Brother Hall said, I will. We entered into a covenant relationship. And bless your heart, she became my property. She's mine. Keep your stinking hands off of her. Now I'm here to tell you, whatever day it was, it may have been on a Sunday, or a Monday, or a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, a Friday, or a Saturday. But whatever day it was, when you kneeled at an old-fashioned altar and said, I will, you became His property. You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. Oh, no, you are God's property. The stamp and the seal of the Holy Ghost is upon you. You're His dove. Oh, my dove! Not the devil's dove. Not the world's dove. Not some angel's dove. Oh, my dove. My dove. Oh, yes, sir. I'm glad I'm His and He's mine. Bless His wonderful name. Just like Israel of old had the sign of circumcision. That signified they were His. You and I today have the seal of the Holy Ghost of God, which is God's sign and signet that we are His. Hallelujah to God. What are you worrying about? What's your problem? Problema, hermano? Huh? Mucho problema? Por qué? He owns you. He'll keep your oil changed. He'll keep you filled up with high-octane gasoline. He'll keep your windows clean so you can see good. Amen. He'll keep your engine running right. I guarantee you on that. Why? Because you're His. He'll change your air filter and let the air blow. You'll get a hold of that in after a while, too. He'll let the air blow through you just right. Hallelujah. Why? Because you're His, my friend. He bought you with the price of His blood. You have been purchased with the blood of the Son of God. You're His. Whoa! My dove! Bless His wonderful name. Hallelujah. May I say, secondly, I got a feeling when he said, oh, my dove, he's looking down through the dark corridor of those stairs and was kind of blinking his eyes. Oh, my dove. And he didn't say, hey, old hag. He said, oh, my dove. Let me see your countenance. I'm going to be honest with you. Our Lord is in a pleading state. Let me see your countenance. Why are you so shy? Oh, I tell you, some folks are shy. because they allow old sin in their life to creep up into their mind and deprive them and rob them of the blessing and the presence of the Son of God, and they're deprived of the fellowship that He wants to have with them. That old sin will say, "How He don't love you." The devil will creep up right behind it and say, "You know, sin's right. How can the devil, how can God love you? Why, you're sinful and wicked and you're black." And she may say, "Yes, but I'm comely." "Oh, I'm black, but I am comely." And sin will say, "Yes, but you're yet a wretched. You're yet wretched and defiled and corruptible." Oh, but I hear the Son of God saying, "Oh, I want to hear your voice. For it's sweet, and I want to see your countenance. For it's comely. For my blood has washed away all of your sin." Hallelujah to God. "And you're clean and pure and holy and righteous." Justified. I am justified. Hallelujah. Huh? You're mine. You know what those words, "my dove"? They're words of love. Oh, my dove. I love you. That's what He's saying. I love you. Oh, how can He love me? A sinner, condemned, unclean. Oh, Jesus, lover of my soul, how canst thou love me? A sinner, condemned, unclean. I know not how, but this I know, that in the eons of time past, before there ever was, God loved me. Whoa! What a... What a God! That before we ever were, before there was ever a world that sinful man was upon, God loved me! Hallelujah to God! Somebody said, "I don't believe that. You need to read your Bible." Huh? You need to read your Bible. They're words of love. The dove, oh my dove, the dove is also a beautiful creature. Somebody said, "I'm not very good looking." Well, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. And I won't say this, my friend. He beheld me when I was unlovely. If you pardon the expression, I was as ugly as homemade sin. My face had stopped an 8-day clock. I was uglier than mud, and my life was polluted. But I am here to tell you, He passed by when I was in the field polluted in my own blood. And He cried, "Live!" And oh, and I tell you, He didn't just say live, but I'm telling you, He brought me out of my pollution. And He decked me with ornaments of His grace. He put rings on my fingers, chains about my neck, gave me a few golden earrings to wear. Oh yeah, somebody said, "You talking about a sodomite?" No, I'm talking about the beautifying, the grace of God in my life. Whoa, my dove! You were polluted. But He said, "I've washed you in my blood. I've justified you by my own righteousness. I've made you righteous." And He said, "I have sanctified you by my grace. Now, I'll never forget old Billy Kelly. Old brother Billy Kelly down at Tabernacle, the graduation one night to Bible college. About 1,600 people there. Old Billy Kelly raised just an old pool shark in Knoxville, Tennessee. Gambled all of his life as a boy, just a pool shark in a pool hall in Knoxville, and didn't know God, come from a poor family that had very little. Old Billy walked out there, and Dr. Sattler said, "Brother Kelly, it gives us great honor to bestow upon you this certificate of a Doctor of Divinity because of your many years of faithful service in the work and the labor of God." And old Brother Kelly walked over to that microphone and said, "Golly, if Mama can only see me now, I'm going to tell you something, my friend. I led a life of a drunk. Well, my mama, my wife, and my family had seen me in an awful, ugly, sinful, wretched mess. And my mama has gone on to glory. But if Mama could only see her boy now, hallelujah to God, washed in His blood, justified, sanctified, and comely to look upon." What a God. Hallelujah. What a God. May I say to you, the dove in her character. Now, this is the character of the church. If you don't fit these characters, you're lost. The dove loves cleanliness. The dove keeps its body clean, and you ought to. Shame on somebody to run around with stink under your arms. Bless God, if you can't afford a bar of soap, come see me, I'll buy you some. Huh? A little shampoo to put on your hair. Amen. Wash your body. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Bill Stotts called me last night, told me, said, "Hey, said I went down to old so-and-so's house. I've known this fella for years. Got to kill himself years ago. The bullet still lodged in his brain." In his brain. Bill told me, said, "You'd have to use a scoop shovel to get in the place. I've never seen so much filth and nasty in all my life." I'm telling you, friend, the dove was a clean animal. In fact, it was so clean that it taught, are you ready to listen to this? It taught its young to carry their dung out of the nest. They kept things clean. Huh? Somebody said, "What's the moral of that story? Keeping a clean house and a clean body?" Well, you can take a lesson or two on that. Yeah, man, you can take a lesson. There ain't no reason for nobody in their home or otherwise to go nasty and filthy. But I'm going to tell you what the spiritual meaning of it is. That dove didn't allow any mess to collect in her house. We oughtn't to let sin collect in the house of God. It's nasty and dirt. But I'm going to tell you one better now. We oughtn't to let sin collect in the house of our heart. No, sir. Keep her clean, boys. Keep her fessed up. I mean, just tell God. If you've lied, tell God you've lied. If you've been a deceiver, tell God you've been a deceiver. If you've had hatred and envy and strife and jealousy, tell God and clean your house up and maintain the character of a dove. Now, I'm not talking about long-distance confession. I've heard people jump up, "I've sinned." Well, big blessed God deal. Who ain't? Won't you tell God about it? Think you can jump up in the middle of a congregation, "I've been a sinner." Who ain't? I'm talking about so-called safe folk now. Who ain't? You went out in the community and lived like a fool. You went out in society and lived in sin, in open sin, in the presence of worldlings, my friend. You owe it to God and to the church to get up before the church and tell the people, "I have sinned thus and thus." Amen, preacher. That's good, preacher. That dove was so clean it eat pure grain. That dove won't eat the cornbread Miss Hall throws out. Them old blackbirds and little old starlings and bluebirds and things, she'll throw out a pancake. And if a squirrel don't get to it first, I seen a squirrel pick up a whole pancake yesterday and climbed a tree with a pancake in his mouth that big around. But them birds, they'll come down on them pancakes. But I'm telling you, a dove will eat nothing but pure food. And I'm here to tell you, it grieves my heart to hear Baptist people say amen to error. You'd be surprised. Man preached right behind this pulpit some years back and was preaching as big a gross of error and a lie as I'd ever heard in my life. And people, often preachers, men of God all over the auditorium, amen! Amen! You know what they're doing? They're eating filth! They are eating polluted, unclean, and nasty food, buddy. The wrong kind of grain's what they're putting down their gullet. I'm going to tell you what God's people say amen to. The truth! Amen means it's right! I agree. Amen. Amen. It's true. It's true. It's true. And Jesus said, verily, verily. He was saying, truly, truly. It's true. It's true. And folks stick their head in the hog trough. Try to find an apple. I'm not going to stick my head in the hog trough for one apple. Somebody said, why not? But why did he go to the hog trough for one apple? All you got to do is go to the tree. He's an apple tree in the wood. Why would you want to stick your nose in a pile of cow manure to smell a daisy? He's the rose of Sharon. And he's the lily of the valley. That dove drinks nothing but pure water. A dove will not drink muddy water. I've got to hurry. We'll never get done. I won't try to get done halfway decent today. May I say the dove is an innocent and a harmless creature. He said, oh, my dove. I'm preaching on that dove coming out of hiding. The dove in her hiding place. Come out. You're in the cleft of the rock. You're in the places, secret places of the stairs. Let me hear your voice. Let me see you counting. And by the way, he could hear her voice before he could ever see her face. You know why? He could hear her voice while she was yet in darkness. Christ, if you're a child of God, can hear your voice. You may be living in darkness and away from God, but if your head, you're never so far that he cannot hear your voice. And some of you feel like you're too far down the tube to get a hold of God. Cry to God, for He can hear your voice. And if you listen, He'll lead you out of the darkness into the light where He can see your face. That dove is an innocent and a harmless creature. Matthew 10:16 said, but be ye wise as serpents in what, church? Harmless as doves. You know what that means, harmless as doves? That means to be inoffensive to the world. We're not to offend the world. We do. With that little old thing between your tongue, between your lips called a tongue. Isn't that right? We ought to be offensive. I tell you, we'll never win anybody to God offending people. We ought to be as wise as a serpent, as harmless as a dove. And we ought to be able to witness to individuals. And live in their presence and before them without being a stench in their nostrils. Somebody said, can you give me an illustration? There's a man in the Bible by the name of Lot. And those angels of God said, go tell your son-in-law to come out of this place. And Lot sounded like a fool to them. Because of the light that he had lived in their presence, he did not have an ounce of character. He did not have an ounce of God. He had no influence with those that lived around him. I got on my knees this morning again and begged God to let me live a life that would influence Madisonville.
in our community. And I'm telling you, I prayed this morning. I said, Lord, I don't know how long that I'm going to live. When my life will be taken, God knows. It's appointed unto man wants to die. And I have no earthly idea how long He'll let me live. But Brother Billy, I want to be used of God. I'm tired. Oh, we've got safety there. And I'm going to point something out in a minute. You just hang with me. We've got safety there in the cleft of the rock. And we've got protection in the secret places of the stairs. But I'm telling you, there's a dark and a light place in both of those that we need to come out of the darkness. So that we can be an influence to the lost and the dying. I'm here to tell you, my friend, I'm sick and tired of smooth deeds and loose living. And seeing sinners going to hell. And I'm telling you, the world, I have never in my life. They voted in a civil union law in either Connecticut or Vermont. Vermont, one of the states up in the eastern seaboard. They don't call it a marriage with the sodomites, just a civil union. God, we're in a mess. Kentucky's in a mess. And I'm going to take 3 or 4 more years of Al Gore, you'll find out how big of a mess we're in. Some of you Arabs sitting in this building voted for Bill Clinton. May God take pity on your soul. And I'm not preaching politics. I'm here to tell you that man is a left-wing heretic that would have me thrown in prison today if he could get by with it. I'm going to tell you, the next president's going to seat 3 Supreme Court justices, buddy. And if Al Gore gets his pick, kiss your guns goodbye, kiss your religious freedom goodbye, kiss your church house goodbye, kiss your tax exempt for the state church goodbye, kiss her all goodbye! Because the left-wing liberals will eat us up. And by the way, do you know that the IRS can take away our tax exempt status, my friend, with the federal government? For me, preaching what I'm preaching this morning. They did to a preacher in New York State. They did! I'm telling you, it's time for us to get our head out of the sand. I'm going to tell you what, I may not win them to God, but I want to have enough of God's power on me and enough of influence that maybe I could be like Paul when he stood before old Agrippa or whatever it was, and he just said, almost thou persuadest me a Christian. And old Felix just stood and trembled and shook and shaked when he heard of righteousness, temperance, and judgment. I'm telling you, I want to have enough of God's power on me. And I said, you don't have much of an education. Neither did Peter and John, my friend, but they took notice that they had been with Jesus. May not have much education, but son, we can have the power of God. We can be filled with the Holy Ghost. We can have the light of the gospel in our soul. Our lips can be seasoned with grace. And we can have power in our hearts and the love of God in our eyes. Oh, my dove, thou art in the cleft of the rock and the sea. Let me hear my voice. Let me see thy countenance. For sweet is thy voice. Come on. Come on. How about preaching Jacob's ladder with those stairs on top of it? Come on. What are you waiting on? What are you sitting where you're sitting? Take hold of the rung of grace and come out! Greater love awaits you. The blessed smile! Oh, I want to see Him. Look upon His face. Do you really care? If you do, come out of your hiding place. Come out into the light. Where I can hear your voice and see your face. Now, I guarantee you, if you get in an angle where he can see your face, you can see his face. I asked him this morning, Brother Jerry, to give me, no, it was last night, I prayed this prayer. Give me one more glimpse of your glory and grace. Just give me a glimpse of it, Lord. I just want a glimpse of it. Now, I don't know. You can take this for what it's worth. But I had a preacher, a very trustworthy preacher. If I told the name of him, everybody in here would know who I'm talking about. Now, but he's never been here. Most of you have never met him. You've heard the name. That man was going through a battle in his church, and he said he went down into the basement of that church to pray one night and said he got in the holy gear, buddy, and just seemed like God carried him out. And said for just a small moment, he said, I know there wasn't nobody there in person. He said there wasn't no individual there, but he said it was as if I felt a man's hand on my shoulder. He said, Pastor, everything is going to be all right. No, and I'm here to say somebody said, oh, preacher! I'm telling you, there's a nearness and a closeness to the Son of God and to His divine and holy presence that we have never entered into as a church. Come out of your darkness, your I know my dove, my bride. You know what it's a type of? Be a type of a man getting married. Who's not bashful? Are you bashful, young lady? Come here, sit down. Now, we're just still to straighten up. Don't you stand back there and just shut that door a little bit. Don't shut it all the way. You can't get out of it. Shut it. Oh, my God! There! In the secret, in the cleft of the rock. There! In the secret place of the stars. Come out! That not yet, no, no. That I may hear thy voice and see thy countenance. For thy voice is sweet and thy countenance is comely. But why does she remain there? What can she do there? There is a partition betwixt us. There can be no eye contact. There can be no love affair. No love life. No communion. No fellowship. She's in the dark places of the stairs. Now, wait a minute, sir. You don't need to come nowhere. Just open the door. Open it. Well, things have changed, buddy. Things are picking up. Come on, bride, I see your face. I hear your voice. Oh, yeah, lovely. Look, comely. Comely and sweet are you. I see you and I hear you. Now, I want to ask you something. Wouldn't it have been a mess on your wedding night? Or wouldn't it be a mess tonight? How long have you been married, Andy? Almost 15 years. Cheryl, you please come out of the closet. How long have some of y'all known the Lord? How long you known her? Cheryl, come out. Mark, come out of the closet. George, come out of the closet. What are you hiding for? Who are you hiding from? Are you hiding from me? Why do you hide from me? For in my own heart, I believe that your voice is sweet and your countenance is comely. I'm not ashamed of you. I loved you when you was wicked as hell itself. I am not ashamed of you. I'm not ashamed to be called your brother.
Amen. Thank God.
Boys, I ain't going to make her. And by the way, because it's innocent, it wants to live peaceably, and I don't have time to go into all this, and quietly amongst themselves. They don't backbite, bicker, gossip, chew on somebody else, chew on another member. There's been so much chewing and backbiting going on in Madisonville that most Baptists look like an old apple core that's been gnawed on and thrown down the ditch. The dove is a loving and a chaste creature. Some of you are going to like this and some of you ain't. Adultery is rarely known amongst the dove. And if adultery ever occurs, are you ready for this? The males of the group will take out the male and peck it. Amen. I'm going to tell you, God's not going to have nobody else in front of Him, folks. You think you can get by hobnobbing with the world and sin and all that mess and still have Him to say, you are grossly deceiving fools. Hey, Israel was Jehovah's adulterous wife. But the church is Christ's chaste virgin. Don't hobnob with everybody and every hound dog. Whenever they committed adultery, it was punished with death. And by the way, upon the loss of a mate, that dove remained a widow and inconsolable. You couldn't console them. They grieved themselves to death.
Amen.
Let me ask you something. Somebody asked me the other day, and Lord willing, I'm going to preach around these lines tonight. Somebody asked me the other day, made a statement, said, preacher, so he's talking. They said, it don't take a great theologian to know that it's dead and dry at the church.
Great preacher.
Wonder where God's at. Let me ask you something. In His absence, have you grieved and mourned over the fact that Jesus has departed and He's not here like He used to be? Some of you could give a ragtag flip less. Where is that? I've got to hurry. You're going to like this. That dove is a fruitful creature. Douglas, that dove would have as many as 10 to 12 fruits. I'm not talking about in one setting on the nest. I'm talking about 10 to 12 times a year. They had young. Or if dove could just become a real dove.
Amen.
I'm telling you, in 2 years, son, we'd have to build on.
Amen.
Let them have them. Let them string them crumbs all over everything, son.
Amen.
Snot run down their face. As long as they keep on saying, Poppy, good. What can you ask for? How fruitful are you? How fruitful is Brother Hall? They're a weak and impotent creature, often oppressed by other birds. But thank God they have hiding holes.
Wow,
my God! Thou art in the cleft of the rock! Secret place of the stars. Now, don't nobody leave me. I'm trying to get dove. That's the end of the first point. The character of the dove, the covert provided for safety, and I'll just mention these.
said, "Thou art in the clefts of the rock."
Hey.
Who do you think that rock is? That rock is a word that is Jesus is characterized up throughout all the Bible.
Yes.
He is our rock.
Yes.
He's saying, "You're in me." My soul has found a hiding place, not in device or creed.
Woo!
Know about you, but I like to shout her out and go to the house. When that Roman soldier plunged that spear through the side of the rock.
Yes.
With two hands of love, Jesus spread open the cleft.
Yes.
Said, "Come on in, Gary, and I'll cover you there with my hand." Yes. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
That word cleft means a fissure or a rift. Just like Moses when he stood on the rock, and when Jesus passed by with all of His glory, He said, "I'll cover you in the cleft of the rock." One more time.
Woo!
I want to say it's a spiritual rock. 1 Corinthians 10:4, talking about that Israel that crowd had come out of Egypt, He said, and did all drink of the same spiritual rock, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Not only was it a spiritual rock, but it was a rock to stand on. No sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Bible said in Exodus 33:21, and He said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon the rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock." Hallelujah to God. May I say that it is a rock that we can drink from? He said in Exodus 17:6, the Lord told Moses, "Behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink." Now look here. Who smote that rock? "Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. Thou shalt smite the rock. Water will come out that my people may drink." Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. That rock on Calvary was smitten. Yes, sir. And living water. You young people, hear me. There's life. There is living water. There's life in that rock. The Lord Jesus can give you life, and that more abundantly. Now I'm trying to hurry. I want to say, look here, it's a rock that satisfies us with sweetness.
Amen.
Psalm 81:16 said, "He should have fed them also with the finest of wheat and with honey out of the rock."
Yes.
Should I have satisfied them? Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother.
Yes.
There's honey in the rock for you.
Yes.
Do you know why some of y'all are so sour-pussed? I want you to hear me. And I didn't go there. It's either in Deuteronomy or Exodus, one of the places. And I didn't write this one down. But the Lord wrote there, I believe it's in Exodus 30 or Deuteronomy 32 or 33 in the Song of Moses, I believe, the song that Moses sang. That God told him, said, "I would have let you suck honey out of the rock."
Amen.
Pucker up your ever-loving lips.
Yes.
And lay one on the Son of God, that you might find sweet honey.
Yes.
For your soul. Hallelujah to God.
Yes.
Church, that is communion. The reason some of you have never gotten a taste of that honey, you've never kissed Him like Mary did on the feet. Somebody said, I'm not a kissing nobody's old feet. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. His feet is loaded with honey. It'll sweeten your old sour soul. And look here. Somebody said, oh, I need a bunch of it. Go on and eat a whole bunch of honey. I'm going to tell you, God's so big, you don't need as much of God as what you think you do. Just a little pinch of Him. About all we can handle. Too much would blow our mind. The last little point here, her communion in the secret place. Listen to me now. The secret place of the stairs. That word stairs means a place. Now, listen carefully. That is inaccessible. Nobody can get there. Your life is safe in that place that is inaccessible to Satan, to sin, to the world. Nothing can get you in that secret place. And it's a place of sweet communion. Listen now. She is already there. Sin cannot find its way there. The world cannot shut. The world is shut out, and the devil cannot enter in upon that sacred place. And the Lord spoke to her from above. Those stairs indicate our accessibility to Christ. He's up higher. Oh, my dove, thou art in the cleft of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me hear see thy countenance, and let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Come on up. What about you this morning? You going to come out of your hiding place, bride? Come on up to where He's at. Some of y'all hadn't worshipped in a decade. Saw a few tears this morning. That encouraged me. And a few shouts. That blessed me. But oh, how long has it been? How long has it been since we come into His divine presence and worshiped at His feet? Let's stand together, please. Somebody here this morning may be lost. I want to invite you to come to Him today. He'll save you if you let Him. And there may be someone here this morning, this afternoon now, and you're hid in that secret place. And you're shy and you're timid and you're bashful and backward. And you're afraid to come out where He can see you. Step into the divine light of His love this morning. Let Him flood your soul with joy unspeakable and full of glory. He'll meet you in your need and your place. Some of you young kids in here, I prayed for you this morning and last night both by name. That God would begin to move on your soul, that you might be saved. I called out some adults' names. And without a doubt, numbers of us need to come out of that hiding place into this light and fellowship with the blessed Son of God. you can come out of the darkness into the light and still be in the stairs and still be in the cleft of the rock. Heavenly Father, I've done all that I can do. I've preached what you laid on my heart. I pray that you'll take it and by the Spirit of God, anoint the words. They're just words, man's words, without that anointing grace of the Holy Ghost. Anoint those words with fresh oil that they might penetrate the hearts of people and save sinners by the grace of God and do a work in the lives of your people in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
We're going to sing a hymn of invitation.
God spoke into your heart. Don't you worry about what is going on. We're taking care of everything. Pay attention to what God's trying to do. God spoke and you come right on right now.
Let's sing, Brother George. What are we singing?
96. God spoke into your heart. You need to come. This morning you come right on.
He's waiting for you today. That's right. Come on today. While His presence is available for you. Come on, lost sinner. Come on, child of God. One more verse, Brother George. Let's sing another verse of that. Yes. Appreciate everybody being here this morning. I trust that you'll come back tonight in the evening service.